Last Lord's Day evening, I was speaking to you about the significance of simple deeds. We were looking at Matthew chapter 5, the portion that tells us that a cup of water given in Jesus' name is remembered, is acknowledged, is blessed of the Lord. And as we think about the practical ways in which we show the love of Jesus, I want us to continue here today thinking about that theme. And as we come to Matthew chapter 5, and before we read, I want to just make a few comments with regard to this passage that will introduce the verses that we are going to read in a minute. The truth is that men do see our good works. We are to let our light shine before men. Our works, the things that we do, do leave an impression upon those around us. As the people of God, then, we have such an opportunity to influence men for good, to be a testimony for Christ in this world, not only by our words, but by faith in action, by our works. Men do see our works. The second thing I want us to keep in mind as we look at these verses is that our aim as believers must always be to lead sinners to Christ, to show them Christ. They should see in us a notable difference. Even in those little acts of kindness, gracious acts that we do, little things, they stand as a testament to the love of Jesus. You know how much you appreciate an act of kindness. Little acts of kindness are appreciated by the recipient. But our great aim is to please the Lord. Not so much to have the applause of men. The Pharisees were seeking the applause of men. They were seeking the approval of men, to be seen of men. And the Lord said they had their reward. That's it. They had it. There's nothing more for them. But our aim is to please the Lord. And last week, we became aware of the fact that the Lord takes note of those little things that we do. Even when we have long forgotten them, they seem so simple, so insignificant, they're done, they're over with. We have forgotten them, but the Lord takes note of them. He remembers them even when we don't. What opportunities the Lord affords us here below to serve Him. And I want us to see here, in verse 13 to 16, that we are to be light in this dark world. Not only are we to be salt, the salt of the earth, salt in a decaying and a corrupt world, but we are to be light. I want us to focus upon that statement in verse 16. You are the light of the world. We live in a dark world. We need to shine for Jesus. And so look with me at Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 13 to 16. With those introductory remarks, let us take heed to the word of God. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. faith is something hidden to the human eye. Faith has a hidden residence within the soul. It's not something that is visible to the human eye. But we, as the people of God, are to make evident the reality of our faith in Jesus Christ. How are we to do that? How are others to know that Christ lives in us, that we believe in God with all our heart? They must see it by our works, our outward actions. We must shine for the Lord. We're to make evident the reality of our faith. Saving faith works in a practical way to show the love of Jesus. And I talked about that last Lord's Day evening. The little things that we do for others as unto the Lord in order to bring glory to the Lord that please the Father and demonstrate the love of Jesus. We are called to service. We are called to stand out for the Lord in this dark world. We are called to make known His salvation. Faith has a hidden residence in the soul. It must be evident by our works. Oftentimes, we have this notion and we're tempted to think that serving God means, strictly, you have to go to seminary, you have to become a preacher or a pastor to serve God, you have to go to the mission field to serve God. No, friends. That's not what the Word tells us here. We, each and every one of us, in our sphere, in our place, serve God every day where He has placed us, where He has put us. Every day we have an occasion to glorify God by our works of grace. Every day we are preaching to those around us the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are setting Christ before them by our life, by our words, by our example. And you notice here how Jesus makes it personal. Sometimes we think, well, this is a word for the disciples. Ye are the light of the world. Well, the Lord was speaking to the disciples here. Yes, that is true. It was a word for the disciples. Or maybe it was a word for the early church. But Christ says, ye are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Each and every one of us. We're to shine for Him. And what we do must be a reflection of what is in our heart. Our words are very telling. Words can be hurtful. Words can be cutting. Words can be encouraging. Words are very telling. They communicate to those around what is going on in our heart and in our mind. Without that expression, without those words, they can't tell what is going on in our heart and mind. And our words are very telling. The Lord said in Matthew 12:37, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And what was He saying there? He was saying that your words, what you say, demonstrates your standing before God. They're an expression of your heart, what is in your heart, what is in your mind, where you stand before God, whether you're justified, you're righteous in His sight, you're accepted in the Beloved, you're a child of God. Your words should tell that, show that. Or whether you are condemned, unrighteous, ungodly, living for self with no interest in the things of Christ. By your words you are justified, by your words you are condemned. Could it not be said the same is true of our actions? Our actions, our works, not only our words, but our works demonstrate to those around us our standing before God, whether we are justified or whether we are condemned, whether we are in Christ or out of Christ. By our actions, we show them whether we belong to the Lord or not. What we do must be a reflection of what is in our heart. The cup of water in Jesus' name, the encouraging word, the sympathetic word, lending a hand to someone in need, visiting the sick, taking time to be hospitable, taking time to listen to the weary, comfort those who are troubled. It's something that may be secret. That is, it may be unseen by those around. It may not be something others see. It is a secret work, unseen by others. It may be a silent witness. You don't necessarily have to speak. Your actions speak to them. That secret, silent, clear witness. That opportunity that you have every day to minister to those around you may have, friends, as much or greater influence upon the ungodly, upon that soul, just as much as the clear trumpet sound of the gospel from the pulpit. You have that opportunity each and every day. That witness opens doors to speak for Jesus. And your companions in labor, those in the workplace, those in the office, they will see in you, here is one who will take time to listen, one who will sit down with them, one who will share a cup of coffee with them, one who will be able to help them in the time of need. They can turn to one who will answer their questions. And we need to be such an example. Not only in taking time and listening and serving and helping and comforting and encouraging, but being an example where we are of integrity, providing things honest in the sight of all men, in our business dealings, in the sight of men, an example of the believer in all things. An example of patient trust. Do they see us going through times of hardship and trials? They too go through times of hardship and trials, but they see in us a difference. They see that patient trust in God, an example of the sufficiency of God's grace to see us through those times. You and I manifest the grace of God. Every day we're serving the Lord in that way. We who were sometimes darkness are now light in the Lord. Christ is the light of the world. And that light has come to our hearts. He did shine in our hearts to make known the glorious truth of salvation. We have believed. And every day we are to make known the salvation of the Lord. And the simple deeds are consequential then. They are significant. In fact, they are of eternal value. We noted last day that they give evidence of our interest in Jesus Christ. They show the love of Jesus. They emphasize the power of the gospel. They can see in us a great change. Whereas before we were self-seeking and self-serving, now we are servants of the Most High God, and we want to do His will, not our own will. What you are must be a reflection of what is in your heart. But what you are determines what you do. And what you do reinforces who you are in Christ. There ought to be that consistency, your words and your works, your walk, all in line, showing you are in Christ. You are demonstrating to the world that you know the Lord. Now in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus is not saying that eternal life is secured by doing these things, by simply giving a cup of water to another, providing a meal or visiting the sick. Good works. Jesus was not saying eternal life can be secured by doing these things, by being kind to the poor, giving a cup of water to a thirsty soul, or a meal, visiting the sick, and so on. He's not saying by these things you will be saved. Do these things and you will be saved. No. You do these things because you know and love the Lord. The unsaved do these things as well. But the Lord was saying it all hinges upon your relationship to Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's not just a matter of doing these things regardless of our relation to Him without faith. No. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We do these things because we love the Lord, because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. And just a few lines here. In Matthew chapter 5, these few verses that we have read together, the Lord Jesus compresses what we are to be in the world for Him in order to bring glory and honor to Him. So here in the beginning of a Sermon on the Mount, we have these two examples, these two illustrations or metaphors of what we are to be. We are to be salt and we are to be light in this world, this decaying, corrupt, and dark world. Our life is a letter read by others, an epistle known and read by all men. They may never read the Bible. They may never come to church. But they are looking at us. And they're looking for consistency. They're looking for us to be an example of the believer in all things. They're looking for hope. They're looking for a better way. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for compassion. They want to see if we profess Christ, these things ought to be found in us. What does our living witness say? Does it speak for Christ? That letter that is read by men, is it speaking for Christ? Do our actions make men curious? Just to know, what's the difference? What makes these people tick? What makes these people different? They're altogether different in their treatment of me. So different from the world's treatment of me. They're gracious, compassionate, loving. Does it speak to them? Does it say to them, change is possible by God's grace? God's grace is available to you. Does it give them hope, the better way? Deliverance is something they can know, something that is real. The gospel has real power to change them. There's a blessed hope and a glorious reward for those who are in Christ Jesus. We know what the difference is. What makes the difference in our life? It is Christ. It is the gospel of salvation. But do those around us see it? Or are the lines blurred? Do we treat them just like the world treats them? Treat them no different, without compassion, without love. Our life is a letter to be read of men. But it says here, to use the other illustration that the Lord uses here, your life is a lamp set upon a lampstand to shine for Jesus. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It's a lamp set upon a lampstand, not concealed, not hidden. As a city set up on a hill, it can't be hidden. It's there for all to see for miles around. It's clear, it's visible. That's our life. As a lamp set upon the lampstand, as a city set upon a hill, it's clearly visible for all to see. So we are to let our light shine for Jesus. And the Lord makes the point here, how absurd it would be to light a candle or to light a lamp and then to cover it over and to hide it. That lamp is for illumination, to shine in that room so that all in the room would see, to light all that were in the house. It doesn't make sense then for you to light a candle or a lamp and then conceal it. It's for the purpose of illumination. Jesus said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. It ought to be natural. Light shines. That's what it does. Light shines, radiates. We are to radiate for Christ, be radiant, bright believers. Sadly, some professing Christians, if you were to meet them outside of the church through the week, you would hardly know by their words, by their actions, that they know the Lord. They really give no evidence by their behavior, by their conversation, that they know the Lord. They're not shining for Him. There's no evidence. We're not to be secret Christians, but our light is to shine where we are. Can you, in the workplace, remain silent, unknown by those around you that you are a Christian? They don't see it, they don't hear it, they don't, not even so much by your words, but by your actions. Do they know that you love Christ? Or is there that concealing of your Christianity? Hiding your light under the bushel? No, we're to be open, we're to be clear, we're to be visible, we're to be bright for Jesus, shining for Him. But then, you know, if in our conduct we are untrue to our calling, to our profession of faith, if we walk, as Paul says, unworthy of our calling, unworthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, unworthy of our profession, the reality is our words will have very little influence on those around us. There's an inconsistency. It's a hypocrisy. There's a double standard. We will have little influence for good and for God among men and before men, if our words and our works are not consistent. Rather, we will put a stumbling block in their way. How often, sadly, have you heard it said, well, you know, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. If that person professes Christ, well, I do the same things, I do good things, but why should I be any different? They don't live up to their calling, and they put roadblocks to Christ before men. And men stumble and fall in the darkness because there's no light shining from your life to show them the way to Christ. No, Paul said to Timothy, be an example of the believer, even young people. Be an example of the believer. Don't let anyone despise your youth. Even in youth, you can be an example of the believer by your testimony in word, in conversation, your conduct, your behavior, in charity, showing love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We read in Peter, 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, they can see them. Men do see our good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And here you have in the Beatitudes the Lord describing the character and the influence of the citizens of the heavenly kingdom. The qualities that characterize the king's subjects. And you have that in the Beatitudes. And here he applies that word and how that description is to be worked out in your life. You are salt, the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. The salt of the earth. Briefly, you are to be that preserving agent. Salt purifies. It has a pure, penetrating influence in society for good, preventing the spiritual and moral decay and corruption. You think about Abraham's plea for the city of Sodom, that the Lord would spare it for the sake of the righteous. And what a restraining influence the saints have upon the city in which they live. They are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And that's a word for each of us, as I said. It's not just the disciples. It's not just the early church or Christians generally. The Lord is saying, ye are the light of the world. Each of us a light. Light shines brightly for all to see. Light makes manifest. It's in the light we see things as they really are. It reveals the true state of things. It chases away the darkness. It exposes the darkness, depravity of sin, the despair because of sin. Light directs. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It shows us the way out of darkness. And all those things could be included here. Ye are the light of the world. And the words of Christ clearly imply that this world is in a state of spiritual darkness. In fact, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. They are ignorant, naturally blind to the truth of God. Darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness the people. Think about it. For all man's knowledge and learning and achievements and advancements in science, in medicine, in technology, still he remains blind to the truth of God in ignorance and in darkness. Naturally blind, bound by sin, held fast. It's only the light of God breaking in that can deliver a man from that darkness. The light in the Word of God stands for the true knowledge of God. It's the revelation of that which is good and acceptable to God, the revelation of righteousness and truth. Reveals the way out of darkness. Christ, the light of the world, the true knowledge of God, coming into the world as the remedy for sin, delivering men, showing them the way of salvation, giving to them new life, new light, bringing them out of their blindness and darkness and bondage into the light of Christ. We are to be God's luminaries. Ye are the light of the world, bright and radiant for Jesus, transmitting light, those beacons, beacons of grace and glory. You'll notice what it says in Philippians chapter 2, in the verse 15 and 16. It says there that we are to be blameless and harmless, again, relating to our testimony before men, that we would be sincere and upright, not blameworthy, but blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, this dark world, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How do you do that? Holding forth the word of life. Setting Christ before them. That we may rejoice in the day of Christ. We have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ has come to us, delivering us from our darkness, from our blindness, from our ignorance, from our sin. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness did shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of Christ, the light, the true knowledge of God, of that which is good and acceptable and righteous and true. And we're to share it with those around about us, holding forth the word of Christ. We're to show forth the praise of Him who has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light, opened our eyes, opened our understanding, showing us our true state, our sinful condition before Him, our misery, showing us the remedy, the light coming to us, breaking in, delivering us. That God would set His love upon us so that we are His children, a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. True spirituality shines forth and honors God. And so what is our goal here? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our goal. That's the end result we pursue. Yes, we want to see sinners brought to the Savior, united to the Father. Our goal is to bring glory and honor to God on earth. What we do unto the Lord to please our Savior. And we're to be so occupied with the Master's business until He come, keeping our focus on the return of the Savior, ready, prepared, waiting, watching, working, until the Bridegroom comes, living in light of eternity. That's how we keep our focus here below. What opportunities we have here below to serve the Lord God above, to bring glory and honor to our Father in heaven. The light is not concealed. It shines for all to see. And as the prophet says, arise, shine, for thy light hath come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Shine for Christ. Live for Him. That's our motive, the proper motive that moves us to such ends, to holy service, is not just to be seen of men like the Pharisees, like the scribes, to have their approval, to have their applause, but it should be that our Heavenly Father be glorified. That's our chief aim, our chief end, to glorify God, that others would be drawn to Him. True Christians act to glorify God. We move, we work to glorify God, labor not for men, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. That should be our goal. That should be our prayer. As you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you have that pattern of prayer that the Lord sets down, and it concludes, thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, they were created. Ye are the light of the world. Do men see our good works? Are they brought to the Savior? Do their lives glorify and honor the Father? May we day by day endeavor then to live for the glory of our great God and and Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we're thankful for the clear instruction of your word. Lord, forgive us our sins, forgive us our shortcomings, how we fall short so often of the mark. We fall short of the glory of God. Lord, instruct us, teach us, quicken us, make us to understand your ways, and help us to be conformed to the Master, to shine for the glory of the Father day by day, that men would see in us a living representation of Christ, what it is to know and love the Savior. Lord, we love thee because thou hast first loved us. Help us to be luminaries shining brightly for thee in this dark world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.